The moment we are now in historically raises all sorts of questions for Africa, yeah? And I mean the 53 countries that make up that continent, okay? And in that vein, I do think it's important to pose and say Africa Day. And Africa Day means two things for me. One is a moment of reflection. The other is also where we go from here. It's more than just celebrating who we are, important that might be. So if I put it that way, then it's absolutely essential to think about Africa Day like any other day. I don't subscribe to the idea of a kind of empty, signified celebration. Yeah? I do subscribe to the idea of posing and address very seriously some of the perplexing, complex issues that face Africa. To the north is an Africa that everybody seems to think is part of the Arab world, and some of us want to reclaim it back onto the continent as a space which we share the same soil. Within the same region in the north, I take the view that there's a difference between a no-fly zone on one hand and the no-drive zone on another. And the way in which Europe has become a kind of air force for a rebel movement in Libya concerns me as an African. The other thing that concerns me is the way in which what's in so-called Arab Spring, so to speak, it really is a spring for somebody else rather than the spring for people who have yet to describe and name the way in which they want to live the future. And that's one part of Africa. In the West, we still have a contestation between those countries that used to be run by the French and those that used to be run by the English, which in itself incorporates the ways in which some of the tensions characteristic of what's been going on in Cote d'Ivoire are important. Just to give you clarification, in 2002, Gbagbo went around in Cote d'Ivoire involved in a sort of ID campaign and saying to people, you need to register, to be registered as a Cote d'Ivoirean, you must be registered to a village. In other words, if you don't belong to a village, you're a foreigner. And that in many ways has characterized the distinction between the north and the south of Cote d'Ivoire. And some people might say electorally that it has been resolved. I doubt very much if it has. And in a way, the tensions between Nigeria in the north and Nigeria in the south are part of the same story. We have yet to see a settlement really gripping Sierra Leone and Senegal to a great deal. So there are tensions there. In the east, what we're seeing is on one hand, we don't yet know which way Sudan is going to go. We don't yet know which way Somalia is going to go. We don't yet know whether those kinds of uncertainties in Eritrea and Ethiopia are settled yet and the way in which they translate themselves to Uganda, to Tanzania, and the rest. In our region, or in the center in the region, is the emergence of two arguments, really. One is the kind of political future or futures that are imagined by those political institutions that grew out of national liberation movement. And another is a quasi-neoliberal democratic impulse, whatever that means, which by and large is driven by imbeciles of a kind of relationship with the West. Now, let me put some squeeze into that. There are two ways of having a relationship with the West. One is what I call a quasi-adversarial, in which there are some critical questions that people might raise and some kind of questions of cooperation, which is not the same as absolute cooperation in which the West remains the dominant. Yes, you see what I mean? Those are kind of two different things. And in the region, in our region, Southern Africa, we're facing the possibility of a future in the long to next 10 years in which it becomes critical and important to have a strong leadership in as much as the regional bloc becomes constitutive of new political forms emerging. So in that kind of summary fashion of the three or four or five regional institutions that make up Africa, those are the questions of reflection. But of course, it is also a moment of celebrating Africa in the sense we're kind of proud of being African. You know, I'm anything but an Afrophone. You know, I'm a citizen of Southern Africa. I'm an Afrophone. Where I live is neither here nor there. So in that sense, it is a moment of celebration. And I salute those countries, those institutions who want to pose for a moment and celebrate Africa Day.
Looking at Zimbabwe as a country, what would be your advice to the leaders of Zimbabwe looking at the theme for today, empowerment of the youth?
I mean, Zimbabweans need to sort of take stock and be proud of the fact that they've actually been able to name themselves as Zimbabweans. And that's a huge trip. I'm old enough to remember what it was like to grow up in southern Rhodesia, yeah? And to know I was there when the Union Jack was lowered in 1918. And in some ways, Zimbabweans need to be proud of simply having coming into voice. That's one. The second thing is, it's not so much about the leadership, but rather Zimbabweans ourselves. Let me give you an example, Sandra Young. I go to my website, the ones of Zimbabwe, yes? And I read, it's just like, I can't even sit there and read it with you. Are you with me? In that sense, it's in that sense, we really do need to find ourselves yet again. And I don't mean we need to go back to the olden days, whatever that means. I just think we need to find ourselves to be human, perhaps differently, in a modern sense. Not modern defined by somebody else, but modern defined by us. We need to find a way to not going to go to somewhere, but at the same time, and that essence of who we are is absolutely key to Zimbabweans. The responsibility lies on us all, not just, I've had enough with the leadership. I'm much more interested in what we, Zimbabweans, ourselves think and do at the end of the day. And if we can just achieve that little bit, I really do think some of these other little nuts and bolts come into place. I know in myself it's simple, but I think it's also recognized a very complex, important question. One of the joys of not living Zimbabwe for a while is that it gives you the opportunity to sit back and look and think at that picture in a different way. And I wish for Zimbabweans, especially those of us who don't live in the country, try and find a way of conducting our business in a humane way. It's just like I can't even begin to talk about it without feeling completely cut up in the open. And I don't think that has anything to do with no jobs or the police or whatever. It's just to do with you know, we have to start with Chimoresana before you can't say Magadi. Something has gone missing within that in the last 30 years. And I think we have to find a way of reclaiming that and restoring it a different way.